If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We continue with our scorecard as we rate this sixth administration, and I'd love to hear from you. 086 00 00 959. Now we'll look at the issue of water. Professor Mike Miller is a former Director General at the Department of Water and Sanitation and Forestry. Thanks, Prof, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you, Pamela, and to your listeners.
All right. A lot has happened in the past 5 years, and some of the issues, I must be honest, are not only issues that stem from the past 5 years. They're legacy problems. We've seen what's happened within Hammanskraal. We've seen the water issue become quite a topical issue. Just your overall assessment of how we've done in the past 5 years with regards to the issue of water.
Well, you know, if we're going to talk about whether we get water out of the tap when we open the tap in the morning, it's very different in different places, but there's a lot of places in South Africa where it hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
We can talk about, you know, the big water, the water in the dams and the rivers that we need to manage to make sure we can put water in the taps. But I think what people are really worried about, are we going to have water shedding like load shedding? Are we going to have that kind of problem? Mm. And I'm afraid in quite a lot of parts of the country, there are real problems. Mm. So I don't think we should be giving, I heard your last call on electricity, giving a 90%. I don't think we should be giving anybody 90%. But remember, it's the municipalities who are responsible for getting that water into people's taps.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is.
And I was going to say exactly that, Prof, because it's quite a complex issue. If you look at government and you have this a global view of what's happened in the past 30 years, absolutely, government has made sure that people have taps. Absolutely, there were taps that were installed in people's yards and so on. But very soon afterwards, taps started running dry. And that's the competency of the municipality. So it's a very complex structure that we need to unpack very carefully.
Yeah, we also should remember, you know, because I've been in this business, since 1994 and a bit before that. Back in 94, there was about 24 million people in South Africa who had tap water. Mm. Another 12 million didn't.
Yes.
And you know who those were. You know, it wasn't the rich white families that didn't have water. But if you look today, there are 50 million. So more than twice the number of people who've been connected with pipes and taps. And so you've doubled the amount of people who you're trying to give water to. But quite frankly, I think the population has run ahead of our ability to keep up. And I know of that 50 million who've got infrastructure, who've got the pipes and got the taps, there's at least 10 million who never know whether when they open the tap if there's going to be anything there. And so there's the failing. We've run to keep up by building the infrastructure and helping the municipalities to build it. But the municipalities haven't been able to keep it running. And that's why we've got a lot of dry taps.
So, in your view, the reasons why we found ourselves here now and where we are discussing, water shedding and the like, of course, they're things of climate change being a factor. So we need to be quite careful that South Africa is a water scarce country. That's one element. But then there are other issues of corruption, of competence. In your view, how would you stack that order? Why are we here where we are right now?
You know, there are a number of reasons, and firstly, let's be fair to particularly those poor rural municipalities where they've got a lot of people scattered across the countryside. They're trying to get pipes to them. Mm. The roads aren't very good, and the people themselves don't have much money. They probably can't afford to pay for water, so really strictly they should only get free basic water.
Mm.
Now, to try and provide services to in communities like that is just hard work, and to give that job to the poorest, weakest municipalities is, I just don't think it's fair. Mm. And then we say they failed. Well, they failed because we gave them a job that they would, which was just too difficult for them.
Mm.
But let's not be too fair, because there are plenty of places where there has been money available, where the work had to be done, the wrong people have been appointed, they weren't quite sure what they were supposed to do, and quite often they didn't even bother, they just took the money and used it for something else.
Mm.
So, you know, in the municipalities, we've got good people trying to do a job in difficult circumstances, and we've got bad people who really haven't been interested. and, you know, in towns like Lichtenberg in Northwest, they've allowed the whole water supply to dry up and factories had to close and move out.
Yeah.
We, you know, and that's not because they didn't have enough of what they needed. They couldn't be bothered, frankly.
So you bring up the Northwest being a case in point, which is quite an interesting case because they would tell you that, no, we don't have skills. Municipality does not have the right kind of skills to make sure that, you know, the right engineering goes on in there. People are not employed. Nobody's paying their rates and taxes. And as you said, you know, the structure is not, they don't ring fence that money. So money that does come in goes to other things, maybe even corruption. Just overall, then, how would you then, and I know it's not a blanket kind of solution, where would we begin to immediately start seeing this turning of the tide for those who desperately need this water? So some of the municipalities you've mentioned haven't had water for decades.
Yeah, I think we must, it's a national election tomorrow, so let's think about what the national government should do.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that we always forget is we wrote this very pretty constitution and we gave everybody jobs to do, powers and functions, and one consequence of that was there was a strong push to give very strong powers to local government for those basic services. And if you read the constitution, Minister Mkunu can't just go in and say to the mayor, you're not doing your job properly, I'm going to fire you. He has to go through all sorts of administrative problems to even be able to talk to the mayor and tell him off. And I think what's happening now is people are now tired of this. I think, you know, whether it's in government or whether it's the village or whether it's right tap, people are saying, we don't want to hear the story anymore. And I think we might find, if we get to, you know, actually, regardless of which government gets elected, I think we're going to have to see national being given the power to go to a municipality and say, you're not doing your job, you're getting the money. Now, either you do the job and you appoint people who can do it, or get out, give us the money, and we'll find someone to do it for you. And I think Minister Mkunu has already done that in a few places. He's pushed maybe a bit beyond what he's allowed to do, but we have seen that kind of action taking place. But we must have it much more systematic. It mustn't be something that he has to be careful about and that Salga can complain. You can't interfere with our municipalities. People want water. Can we allow the national minister to intervene if the municipality fails to do its job?
Will civil society allow that to happen?
I think civil society, you know, having been very cross at what, you know, about national governments, and they want to have, you know, they want to have their kind of local rights protected. I think civil society is now quite happy to see a national government intervening. What will be interesting, you see, look at the problem. Now the minister has to go and put somebody into a small town in Limpopo to run the water. Who's he going to get to put there? Now, he could ask a water board if there's a water board there, but we can't give them all the work in the country. What happens if he asks a private company to run it? You know, are we going to hear noise about privatization? Because that would be the other possibility. Or we could say to the community, and we know in the Free State, a couple of towns, the farmers have said, look, we're tired of this. We'll run the waterworks for ourselves. And then the question is, you sure you'll also give the township water? And if they've said they'll give the township water, they've actually gone and they've done it and they've run the waterworks. And, you know, quietly, things have got better. So I think we're going to see a lot of different solutions coming through, as long as we get a sensible result from the election tomorrow.
Prof, let's take a listen to Lerato, who's calling in from Pretoria. Lerato, good evening and welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure.
And good evening to your audience too.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, it's quite an interesting conversation, and I'm happy that you keep on repeating that South Africa is such a water scarce country. I just wanted to add that in the SONA, I think the president also made commitments towards refurbishing, expanding, and adding more dams across the country. And I think these are the things that, these are the infrastructural projects that would then contribute to South Africa being able to have access to water, but more so also increasing, getting more taps in areas in which they aren't running water as of yet. Since we've, since the amount of people who are getting water now has increased compared to 30 years ago.
Thanks for that, Lerato. Prof, your comments?
No, that's a very good comment, and I'm glad that we recognize that it's, you know, if there's going to be more people, we need to find more water somewhere.
Yeah.
One of the ways we do that is build dams. You know, there's a big dam being built in Lesotho to bring more water into the Gauteng and surrounding areas. There's a big dam planned for down the south in Kumasi of KZN. Even Cape Town is going to have to build some more dams because they actually don't have very much water stored. The question, though, is twofold. Firstly, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we know in Gauteng, by the way, is that because we delayed so long building the Lesotho Phase 2 dam,
mm-hmm.
We are going to have to be quite disciplined over the next few years as more and more people to come to Gauteng, but the amount of water stays the same. So there's less water per person over the next 2 or 3 years. We waste quite a lot, so it shouldn't be too difficult to save. But it also means that if you're going to build more dams, somebody's got to pay for that. And really, you know, the deal is that government will pay enough to keep, you know, everyone getting that free basic supply of water. But that's not very much. If people want more, they're going to have to pay. Because someone's got to pay for all those dams and all those that infrastructure. And I think that's the other challenge that municipalities have. To manage water and water bills, which are small bills, really, compared to the electricity and compared to lots of other things.
Hmm.
But it means you have to go and visit each house each month and take a reading and keep the meters working and then send an invoice and collect. And if people don't pay, what do you do?
Hmm.
And I think that's one of the places where we really are going to have a big discussion in South Africa after the election. How do we make sure that people contribute when they use more than that basic free amount, because they really should contribute if they expect to have that service reliably available.
Let me take Maxwell, who's in Tswane. Maxwell, good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pam. I have a quick question for Prof. Given the fact that, you know, we're generally, and this is what we've been told, we're generally a water-scarce country,
mm-hmm.
but the efforts that have been made by government to address the water challenges in this country, is there light at the end of the tunnel? Having confidence in government and their efforts, you know, one sits and wonders, is there light at the end of the tunnel, you know, having to go give them my vote tomorrow, does one give them the vote correctly? So,
Prof?
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm biased because I used to work for the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Yes.
I have to tell you that the department has actually survived quite well, given all the problems in other departments.
Mm.
And I think they're doing their job as well as they can in terms of the big picture, making sure there's enough water in the dams and the rivers.
Mm.
In fact, I don't think that certainly for human water supply, I don't think that there's a problem in the future if we manage it properly.
Mm.
And, you know, in the water business, we always say, you know, there's no water problem. There's just a governance
management
problem. A governance and management problem. And if we can fix that, I think we can solve 95% of the problems of the country well into the next couple of decades.
Prof, we do have to have uncomfortable conversations because let's go back to your example of Rustenburg, that belt of mining happening there, and they obviously using a lot of water. Of course they're paying for that water, but they do have access to water, and right outside communities without water. And so we have to, if we all agree that we're a water scarce country, and yes, we want jobs and we want industry to stay, but we also have to be quite careful about justice and access and just bridging that gap. Because those are the uncomfortable conversations to be had about what provisions we make for those who can pay and those who can't, who can just watch us all have a wonderful fountain outside our office, and yet they can't have water in their homes.
Mm. You know, it's an important question. And I think we should actually give some credit occasionally. And again, I have to be careful. You know, I'm biased in this. I've worked with some of these people.
Mm.
I can tell you that a lot of the mining companies are very worried about the people in the neighborhood around them, because they know that if if those people don't have water, apart from anything, they're going to get cross, and you know, they'll just disrupt all sorts of services. So I can tell you, around in Mpumalanga, and particularly in Limpopo, the platinum mines have tried very, very hard, because they wanted more water for their mines, And mm-hmm. they've been told always, if you don't have water for the communities that are around you, mm-hmm. you're not going to get water. And they said, look, we'll pay for the pipelines, but we'll provide in those pipelines enough capacity to supply the villages and towns on the way. But then taking that water from the pipeline into the village, whose job is that going mm-hmm. to be? You know, the mines are trying to mine. They're trying to run a business. They can't be running municipalities as well. And certainly in a number of places where this arrangement has been put in place, what you found is that the pipes go past the village and mm-hmm. villages get very cross.
Yep.
But the municipality hasn't connected the villages to the pipe. And that's where we really need to have a big conversation, because the mines then get into trouble. People get cross and, you know, throw stones at the trucks and various other things. The mines say, but look, we've done what we can. We can't do the job of your municipality. And that's, again, where we might find that in some places, if there's a big company working in which runs a mine or a big business, why don't we just get them to run the water as well? Mm. I can tell you a lot of the power stations around Eskom, the Eskom power stations in Mpumalanga, they also provide water supply to the towns around those power stations, and they have very good water supply. When those power stations close down, if they do in the next 10 years, the question will arise, we're going to have to get the municipality to provide us. And, that'll go backwards. Why don't we ask businesses, as good neighbors, help us to take over, like the farmers in the Free State? Why don't you help us to run the water? You've got all the capacity. You've got the engineers. And I think we might find some takers for that kind of offer in a number of places.
And we may also ask those dam owners to open up those farms and allow the community to use that water as well, even though they own it. Prof, I didn't think it was going to be an easy conversation. Your scorecard, how much do you think we need to give this administration?
Okay, I'm going to divide it between the national and the local.
Sure.
The national, I think, is really trying hard and doing the right thing. They haven't done everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. I'm not a very generous person. I'm at a university. We only give first-class passes to really first-class.
Yes.
So I'll give them 69, just one below the first-class pass.
Okay.
The municipalities, there's quite a lot of failures. Mm. There's some good ones. But I think on average, the municipalities just scrape a pass because the good ones are weighed down by the bad ones. Mm. So can we say 51% for the municipalities and 69% for the national?
You've been kind. Thanks, Prof. Professor Mike Miller, former Director General of the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. I would like to hear from you as well. 086-000-00959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.